Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and of the Step Back. Today, I just want to first apologize for the second hiatus this podcast took. No longer dealing with any personal things that kind of kept me occupied outside of work and whatnot. Back here doing the podcast. We'll be back all this week. That is my promise to you. We'll be back tomorrow with the Spurs recap. Thursday, Mike Zavgano, J.R. Smith, Jay Crowder breakdown. Friday, TBD, but you will have a show. And then Saturday, a Pacers recap. So thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you guys being patient and subscribing and staying around. A couple things that have changed with this podcast since I last recorded. You can now get Locked On Cavs as well as every single Locked On podcast on Spotify. So if you are a Spotify user and listen to your Slate or your Ringer or your New York Times podcasts on Spotify already, you can now do Locked On Cavs there as well, so you can get them all in one place. With that NPR, I'm going to make the switch as well. But as always, you can always find the podcast on iTunes, Overcast, which I use, Stitcher, wherever else you get podcasts, you can find Locked On Cavs. Today's show, first up, two prongs. First up is a mailbag that I did on Facebook Live talking about trades and possible moves the Cavs could make, and as well as some questions about Isaiah Thomas and lineup changes. Then a 10 or 12 minute preview with Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs, getting into why the Spurs have played well without Kawhi, why LaMarcus Aldridge has been so good for them, and what it means that Tony Parker, the legend, is no longer going to start for them. So, hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Again, I'm sorry again for the hiatus. It is now over. Back tomorrow. Recap of Cavs Spurs, 8 p.m. in San Antonio. A very pivotal game for the Cavs. Let's see if they can get something going. And it's a fascinating time to be around this team and to see what's going on. But this is today's Locked On Cavs for Tuesday, January 23rd. I'm Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter at CWMRitz. Find the pod on Twitter at Locked On Cavs. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you again for listening. Enjoy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Possible fake trades surrounding them, their struggles recently, their upcoming games against the San Antonio Spurs and other teams. There's a lot going on with this Cavs team right now. A lot to dissect, a lot to figure out. You can find me on Twitter at CWMRights, as the screen says below. But there's a whole, just a bunch of confusion with this team right now. It's really hard to say exactly sort of what is going to be the exact fix for everything with this group, what is going to be their savior. But I think it has to be a combination of things. We've seen, the links to DeAndre Jordan, who in a possible Tristan Thompson trade. We've seen George Hill, who's the disgruntled Sacramento Kings point guard. That is someone this team has been linked to. I think those would be interesting pieces, but you have to wonder, I think, would that actually be enough for this team to actually become a much better? We don't really know if those guys are even available, if they're going to be completely cost effective. There's a lot of questions there, but you also have to wonder, does this team have enough internally to get better? Jeff Lazar, who I'm going to get his question full in a minute, he asked, do you think Isaiah is going to come around? That's a big question. Does Dwayne Wade continue to play this well? Does J.R. Smith get better? That's a lot to kind of wonder with this team. Start with Jeff's question. I do think Isaiah is going to come around. He's too good not to, and this is a guy coming off a serious injury where you saw his leg basically bust, right? Like, he had a hip injury, he had all these different issues, and that's going to take him time to come back. And it's just going to get him into a rhythm, get him into a flow that he's not at yet. I think this is a guy that is definitely going to get there. I think you just have to give him time, and I think you have to find the way that doesn't affect him to the point where he is impacting others. I think you can look at the data and it'll tell you that he's struggling out of the pick and roll, that Kevin Love isn't playing as well without Isaiah around. Those are important things. And I think if you're looking at him, it's just going to take time and it's frustrating, and you'd want him to play better right away. And they're going through a gauntlet right now in terms of a schedule. But, I think he should come back. And I think you know, Jeff also says, like, call the running back as a starter. You know, I don't think that's what you want to do. I think Calderon should be praised as much as possible for how well he played when they needed him to. But that is not someone you want to have as your starter. That is someone I think that is, at best, a spot starter that could fill in what he did, and now he probably won't play again. I think he's a bad defender. You know, Isaiah can offer so much more as a scorer. You know, I think maybe they don't have the right type of point guard if they're going to play the way they did, and I think this roster is probably fatally flawed in too many ways to really be the best around LeBron. But, you know, I don't think starting Isaiah is the way to go there. Oh, this is brought to you, by the way, unofficially by LaCroix. My Pamplemousse, grapefruit flavor. So Miguel Torres asked, do you think the Cavs will get DeAndre Jordan? I think he's someone they're going to strongly look at, and I don't know why the Clippers would 100% trade him. You know, right now they're in the playoffs. They're ahead of the Nuggets. They're ahead of the Jazz. Below that, there are a bunch of really bad teams. So this is a team that, if healthy, has a very good chance of making it to the playoffs. You know, would they want to trade DeAndre for that? You know, the Blazers are also interested for some reason, even though they have Nurkic. I think for the Cavs, I think you go after him. I think it's very possible. I think they could have the right package, but I don't know how likely it is. I think we're too far away from the deadline. It's coming up, but I think you're going to see a lot of activity coming in hot. And I think, you know, I think there's just so much still to come, and we'll see how the Cavs look. They could go on a run. Maybe they figure it out, but I'd be shocked if this team doesn't make a move and we know they're interested in DeAndre. And Jeff, thanks for your question. Thank you for your service. I think you serve Semper Fi. Matt Lazarandis asks, is there any chance that the Cavs could get Kemba? Now, this is interesting. I don't think there is. But if you're talking about a actual guy the Cavs could go after, that would make a lot of sense. Why not Kemba Walker? He's, you know, he's not big. You know, he's not George Hill's, you know, if you're looking at point guards or guards in general, George Hill is a bigger, better defender. But Kemba does have the size. His numbers are down this year, but you could argue that's partially because of who he's playing with and that team. He is someone that I think would be really, really fit well around LeBron, would be a really good third option. I just don't think I just think they're going to try to ride with Isaiah, and I don't know would the Hornets take Isaiah in a pick, and what pick are you willing to give up? You know, what other teams offer more? It's a very saturated position. There are questions about what teams should be willing to give up for a guy like Kemba, but I think it's interesting. I'm certainly intrigued by the idea of Kemba Walker, but you would probably want to give up Isaiah to get him. And I don't think you want both of them. I think that he's someone I would look at, but I don't know how good of a chance there is. We know that they, you know, are out there looking for him. We know that teams are out there looking for him, excuse me, and the Hornets are shopping him, but are the Cavs on their list? I think Kemba's at least bigger than Isaiah. And he's not coming off a hip injury. And with George Hill, you know, the question with him is that he's on a much more expensive contract. Kemba Walker is on one of the absolute best contracts in the NBA. He's making, I think, like $12 million. George Hill just signed this, like, $16 million a year deal. He certainly is more versatile, can defend two spots, plays really well off ball, which makes him a very nice fit with LeBron and Kevin Love, if you want to let those guys kind of do their thing. But if you're also looking at the contract, and the value of that, Kemba's going to be a little bit cheaper. He, in a vacuum, you know, just has that cost control. Maybe it's not as long term, but at least you have that control over him to build around, and your roster is not extended. Maybe that gives you more flexibility to go out and get somebody else, to spend more on something else. That is part of this, and we kind of know that there maybe is a cap on what Dan Gilbert's going to spend on this team. So that's just kind of worth considering there a little bit. Robert Fay asks, why hasn't Longobardi, that's Mike Longobardi, the Cavs defensive coordinator, why hasn't he been fired? He's the defensive coordinator. Could that spur some effort scheme change as opposed to a bigger shakeup? It's hard to know exactly who is, he's certainly responsible to a degree, and that is his role. Ty Lue also has culpability, because I think that is, he was running the defense under David Blatt. He took over more of that responsibility last year. That was something that happened. We don't exactly know, or at least I don't know exactly what that breakdown is on their responsibilities this season. You know, I think you're looking at a guy who seems like a solid coach. I think the Cavs' assistant coaches, you know, are full of former head coaches and guys that have been around a little bit. They're not necessarily the flashiest, you know, in the world, but I mean, Ty Lue was the hot assistant when he was under David Blatt. I think Longobardi is someone that, you know, if there's a coaching shakeup over the summer, he could certainly be on the chopping block. I think as far as an effort scheme change goes, I think the effort thing is I don't know exactly why this team doesn't always try, but maybe it's the coasting, but you know, I think it should get naturally better. But I think the scheme is kind of where you wanna look at. There are limitations, of course. The Cavs are playing Kevin Love at center, and he's going to be an issue defending the rim and battling guys inside no matter who he's against. I think, you know, LeBron's not playing that hard. Jay Crowder has had some issues. J.R. Smith's having a bad season, and I think his offense has been really bad, and his defense has been pretty bad as well. Then you go down the roster, Isaiah Thomas, not a good defender, just has the size limitation. Jeff Green's an okay defender, and when he's been one of the best defensive players in this team, that is an issue in its own right. Kyle Korver is a good team defender, but past his prime, can't really lock down anybody of note on the wing. Even if he has the size to be physical with guys, he's not someone that is necessarily going to battle them and lock somebody up. Like, would you trust him against Klay Thompson in the finals? Or, you know, what if they play the Celtics? Can he guard their wings, right? Like, can he guard Jason Tatum? I don't think so. That's a problem. Dwayne Wade, not a good defender at this point. Tristan Thompson is had a kind of an up and down year, better of late, but not, you know, not in his best season. This team just doesn't have a lot of good defenders. I don't think this team has enough defense or enough shooting, and some of that is because Jay Crowder has not played well. Just not to the level I think the Cavs hoped he would. And I think even more so, J.R. Smith has just been bad. Last year, I think you could excuse his ankle issues and the stuff going in his contract and everything going on with his family is maybe a reason why he didn't play well. He has not been good this year. As Robert just commented, he's been a disaster this year. This is a guy who is shooting 36% from the field, is looking bad on defense, has committed a lot of dumb fouls. It's not been the best J.R. Smith. And when you don't have those two guys playing as well as you would want to, that's a problem. And then you go Derrick Rose is someone we haven't even talked about really, and that's someone who can't even have the success defensively either, and isn't having much success on offense either. Just isn't having a good season and probably isn't a good player anymore. These are real issues. You know, they need a lot more, I think, out of J.R. Smith and Jay Crowder. I think if you're looking at two specific players that this Cavs team needs much more out of, it's those two guys. I think you're getting a lot out of Korver. You've gotten a lot out of Wade. I think Isaiah is obvious, but I think if you're looking at the role guys, you know, it's crazy problematic that Jeff Green is having a better year than Jay Crowder. And I think you need to get more out of him, and JR just can't be this bad. Because, you know, if you're looking at moving things around, there are issues with every other guy that you'd want to play in that role. J.R. Smith can at least theoretically guard point guards. Amon Schumber can do that, but he's not nearly as good of an offensive player, especially as a shooter. Teams don't respect him as a shooter. Kyle Korver, a better shooter, maybe helps space the floor more, not as good of a defender, leaving Isaiah to have to defend the Steph Currys, the Kyrie Irvings, the gauntlet of guys you're going to see. And all the good teams the Cavs are going to face if they want to win a title, whether that's Houston with Chris Paul and James Harden, with the Warriors, with Steph Curry. Top three player in the world, with Kyrie Irving in Boston, with John Wall in Washington, with Kyle Lowry in Toronto. These are issues that guys have to think about. And all these teams have other issues where it's harder to hide Isaiah than, you know, and he might have to defend those guys anyway, but at least Jared gives you options and it can still shoot. And none of the other guys necessarily do. We'll wrap it up on one more question here. Vernon Chow has had a couple questions about Derrick Rose. Said, I would start Derrick Rose for tempo on first team and Isaiah on the second. Yes, I would, for scoring second unit. And he also writes, why Derrick Rose has to start and Thomas on the second unit. Thomas takes love shots away and is really looking for his. Remember, this is his last year for new contract. He does not fit note on J.R. Sorry, he needs to go along with Schumper and Fry. So with Rose, I think the ship has sailed on Derrick Rose being a good player. If you listen to the podcast, you listen to me talking here before, you listen to read my writing, this is a guy that I don't think is as good as he used to be anymore. You're looking at a guy who I think is just have has had his peak. He's averaging more turnovers than assists. He's a bad defender. I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded in some sort of salary dump. If they get another point guard, he's going to be pushed on anyway, and I think he already should be behind Wade and Isaiah Thomas at point guard. And Cozy Calderon flat out outplayed him this year. It's just a fact. We'll wrap it up on the real last question. Robert Fay, could you play Jay at the two and bring TT back into the starting lineup, or is Jay not mobile enough? It's not a mobile issue, in my opinion. I think, you know, then you're not starting Isaiah because you'd be going, unless you're moving JR to the bench. So you'd be going IT, Jay Crowder, LeBron, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love. That could work. LeBron would be playing the two more likely than not. I don't hate that. I think it makes you bigger. It's something that I think they could explore. But I don't know if they will. I expect some kind of change. I don't know if that's this week or soon, but I don't hate that idea. It'd be interesting to see them do something different. And it would take some of the issues. One of the Crowder's biggest issues has been his rebounding. He's just not rebounding at nearly the rate they need him to as a small ball four. Maybe that would alleviate some of those issues. And Dale Early Ford says they should put Green in the starting lineup, yes or no? Nah, I think he's fine where he is. So you can check this Facebook Live out again if you want to listen to part of it again on the Locked On Cavs podcast feed or on Facebook. Make sure you subscribe below. You can find Locked On Cavs on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, you can find Locked On Cavs. The links to iTunes and Spotify are in the link below. If you're listening to this live, if you're listening to this later, in there as well. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you for already listening. But my name is Chris Manning. You can find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. We'll have another one of these at halftime of Cavs-Spurs. So join us then, halftime of tomorrow's game. Give you a 10-minute breakdown of the first half. Maybe do one after as well. But thank you for listening. Thank you for joining this chat. Check out the podcast. Check out Fear the Sword, everything we do. Thank you for listening. Like the page if you aren't already. And we'll talk to you soon.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Jeff, this is the first time the Cavs and the Spurs are facing off this year. Just for the Cavs fans that have maybe only seen the Spurs play once or twice, how has this team survived without Kawhi, and what is going on with Kawhi right now exactly?
Yeah, you know, this is a situation where the Spurs and Kawhi in his camp are just simply frustrated. And obviously, I know you're talking about the report that came from ESPN yesterday regarding Kawhi not being happy with the franchise, and it all stems from the right quadriceps tendinopathy injury that he has. Look, I've been covering the Spurs since 2004. They keep a tight ship. They don't let this type of family business leak out. It rarely does. Somebody asked me earlier, you know, when was the last time you've seen something like this? I thought maybe Steven Jackson when they cut him right before the playoffs years ago. That's about it. And so this is kind of uncharted territory for San Antonio, who really doesn't get into the headlines for all the wrong reasons. At the end of the day, I don't think there's much to it. One, I think the common thread which what the report stated was that Kawhi, he's frustrated with his recovery time. Buford, who doused the fire with tons of water, saying there's nothing going on, but he also admitted that there's just frustration that he can't get back to the court faster or sooner rather than later. So yeah, he's a young guy, he's competitive, he sees the Spurs struggling of late, he sees their offensive woes. You know, they're doing fine defensively, but offensively they've been struggling of late. That's a 20-plus point guy that can come in and produce right away and keep the Spurs in the thick of things in the West or in the NBA. So is this something to sneeze at? No, maybe there's a little smoke and a little fire, but at the end of the day, I think everything is going to be calm. This is a Spurs team that handled the LMA, LaMarcus Aldridge situation over the offseason wonderfully, masterfully. And look, now he's producing and he's being the LaMarcus Aldridge that many thought he would be once he left Portland to join the Spurs. End of the day, he'll be back, Kawhi that is. And I'm predicting maybe sometime after the All-Star break, and it'll be you know, all green lights to go, and the Spurs will be doing Spurs things. And we'll look back at this conversation, Chris, and say, Yeah, what were we worried about? It's the Spurs.
Yeah, and I think what you said about how they handled the LaMarcus Aldridge trade request this summer and the shopping of him is very, very interesting, because there was an article a week ago from ESPN, I think Brian Windhorst wrote it, about how the Cavs and Spurs were, how they had these two franchises that had star players, Kyrie Irving and Cleveland, obviously, and then LaMarcus Aldridge in San Antonio, how they handled their individual requests. And I think that's to me, is because I think with a lot of other teams, like if this was Anthony Davis, if this was, you know, the Cavs in a non-LeBron situation, or, you know, like most other teams, if you get a report like this, I think people start firing up the trade machine and trying to construct mm-hmm. deals to get Kawhi to another city. That didn't happen with San Antonio. I wasn't on Twitter maybe as much as I to speak to that exactly, but I can't imagine people were like, yes, Kawhi Leonard's on the trade block, let's do this. I think this is just, people kind of take this as this is something that will work out, other than, crap, the Spurs are in trouble with Kawhi.
No, I think they're fine. I think this will all settle down, and I think the bigger focus really right now should be, how are the Spurs going to survive the massive injury bug that has hit them this season?
Right now, the Spurs are fourth in the West. As you know, they're 7.5 back of the Warriors. That's tied with the Wolves, who are in third. That's three games ahead of the fifth place Thunder. With Kawhi Leonard, who's like a top 3-4 player, 5 player in the world, somewhere in there, he's played nine games, and I think a lot of people would have had him as an MVP candidate and a favorite coming into this year, considering the field. But how have they survived and been this good without him? Is it the same Spurs mojo, or is it something different?
It's something different, but it's the same thing. I know that's kind of a weird way to answer that, but what I mean by different is this. Well, let me restart again. Let me say, what's been the usual norm is their defense. Their defense is stellar this year. I mean, it's tops in the league. At last check, I believe they were holding teams around 96, 97, 98 points per game, good for first in the league. Their defense has been winning a majority of their games this season. But it's different in the sense that they've been having to do this without a collective group of guys who can reliably put points up on the scoreboard. LaMarcus Aldridge has been the anchor for the Spurs on the offensive end, but he really hasn't had, or the team hasn't had, somebody that they can rely upon consistently each night to produce with him. So on one hand, they're being Spurs-esque. Defense, defense, defense. How many times have you heard that over the years under Popovich's regime? Defense is everything. They're doing it this year. Bravo. But it's different in the sense that they don't have the reliable scoring that they had in years past, when Duncan was there and Parker was in his prime and Mane was in his prime. You know, Danny Green is not reliable anymore because of the fact that he's been dealing with some injuries right now. And of course, back then, you know, you had some sort of consistent scoring. I mean, Jonathan Simmons last year, and Kawhi Leonard, he's not there. So it's been really muddy waters and a lot of ups and downs, ebbs and flows. But at the end of the day, if defense wins games, they're definitely proving that with the record they're boasting right now.
You look at what's going on with them right now as they head into this Tuesday matchup. What are some things that are interesting little nuggets about the Spurs right now that you've seen over the last few games?
Well, over the last few games, it's interesting maybe for your listeners, but it's bad for me as a Spurs guy who covers this team. What's interesting is that in the last five games, they're 2-3. And they're barely mustering up 96 points per game. And their offensive numbers have been declining. In the last five games, they're only averaging 96 points per game. In the last 10 games, they were averaging 98. And the last 15 games, prior to where we're at right now, they were averaging 100. So you're seeing a trend right now that their offense is declining slowly and steadily. And that has to change. It helps that the Spurs are playing in San Antonio tonight, a place where it's hard for teams to get a W. I think Indiana was a recent team that got a rare win in the AT&T Center. They're very comfortable at home. They have one of the best records in the NBA at home. I think that helps them. It helps them get their mojo going on the offensive end, especially because they need it right now. And you toss in the fact that there will be no Pau Gasol, no Kawhi Leonard, obviously, no Rudy Gay, no Manu Ginobili later on tonight. The Spurs need to find some sort of offensive punch. They're going to need that, and I think that's what could spell doom for the Spurs tonight versus your Cavs.
I think the Cavs also just that sort of setup they were talking about with the injuries to Rudy Gay, who's had a nice season, to Manu, to if no Pau Gasol. Those are things that should help a Cavs team that, as you know, is playing very badly right now, that the listeners know is in something of an extreme rut. And I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. The last thing we'll talk about real quick, there's a Tony Parker. It's per the San Antonio Express News and ESPN. Parker said that he is not going to start, that DeJounte Murray, the second-year point guard, who played well in Parker's absence, has the same agent as LeBron James and J.R. Smith and the whole clutch crew. He is not going to start. And I don't know if this is a permanent thing or if this is just as he kind of figures himself back out because he's only played 21 games. But what does it mean that Tony Parker, this franchise legend, is in his 17th NBA season? What does it mean that he's not going to be starting for San Antonio anymore?
Well, one, I think you nailed it on the head. The report came out, and the quote didn't really say it was a permanent move. Mm-hmm. I think it's a win-win situation for San Antonio, Murray and Parker, and what's going on with those two guys. Win-win in this. Win, DeJounte Murray's inserted as the starting point guard. He is the supposed heir apparent to the point guard spot. The Spurs will win if he dazzles, if he plays up to the expectations that many think he might have, as we saw early in the season when the Spurs started off 4-0, and he was starting point guard. He's longer, he's more athletic, obviously, he's younger, obviously, he plays a little better defense than Parker, and if he pans out, given the starting nod once again, great, Spurs win. They got themselves a young buck who plugged right in and is ready to go. He's off and ready. Look at him go. He's dazzling everybody. But it's also a win, too, in the sense of, hey, who wouldn't want to have a four-time NBA champ, former Finals NBA MVP, a Hall of Fame-bound player coming off your bench with a guy like Patty Mills and Manu Ginobili? I mean, that speaks volumes to the Spurs' depth right now. Now, it is also a triple win. If Murray doesn't pan out, he goes back to the bench, and you still got Tony Parker, a Hall of Fame-bound player, just reinserting back into the spot where he is. I think it's self-serving for both sides. The Spurs win, obviously, as I detailed right now, and also wins for Parker because it allows him to recover. Simply because, as he said it, he put so much energy into coming back faster and ahead of schedule, coming off surgery and the injury he had to his leg. So, yeah, if I'm a 34-year-old point guard who has tons of mileage on my legs, I'd be saying, yeah, let the young guy go for a while. I'll be back. Just I need to catch a break a bit. But if he doesn't pan out, I'm here. So it's win, 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 win all across the board.
Yeah, he, in the article that I read, he said that actually that he compared the situation a little bit to Isaiah Thomas. It said it's getting there. I just have to keep working on it, just be patient. Cavs guard Isaiah Thomas, he talked about that. That it's very interesting, that kind of comparison, because to Parker, it's a hip injury, correct? That he's working coming back from.
It's the leg surgery that he had during the off season when his leg literally blew up in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Exploded inside. So I think he just overextended himself in the recovery phase and coming back. He wanted to prove something, and now he's kind of gassed a bit. So it's win-win-win across the board for the Spurs. Again, the dark cloud surrounding this whole season right now is the injury bug and Kawhi Leonard. That remains to be seen. I was at the Spurs-Nets game, the first media session Popovich had regarding Kawhi Leonard, and I left that media session feeling calm. I didn't think Pop was in panic mode. He made it very clear it wasn't a re-injury. It wasn't something drastic. Nothing turned for the worse. He simply just couldn't bounce back as he thought they would. And I liken those 9 games to kind of a testing ground, like a guinea pig situation. Let's see how he does. Okay. Yeah, he's still not there yet. Bring him out. Really, in theory, all he's doing is just continuing his rehab. That's really what it is.
Yeah, and he's someone that also did spend time in the G League doing some rehab as well with the Austin Spurs, which I think it speaks to the care I think they're doing. Something that Isaiah Thomas said he didn't want to do and was very open about, that he did not want to play in the G League at all against Maria. But Jeff Garcia has been the guest. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. He's the host of Locked On Spurs, and he is the lead Spurs writer for News 4 in San Antonio and Fox 28 San Antonio. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on and giving us the insight on San Antonio.
Not a problem. Anytime, Chris.
And everyone will be back tomorrow, recap of that game, and we'll see what happens with Cavs Spurs, but it should be interesting considering what's going on with this Cavs team right now. But thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.